Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Blaze Radio Network.
And now, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher.
You know, I can't get this story out of my head. A passenger on board a Lufthansa flight from Thailand to Germany died, which is really sad, after his fellow travelers watched in horror as blood gushed out of his mouth and nose. That does not sound like a fun flight. In fact, I don't know why the plane took off at all. The unidentified 63-year-old German man was seen boarding the Airbus A380 in Bangkok shortly before midnight, visibly sick with cold sweats and breathing much too quickly. At first, his wife claimed they had to rush to catch a flight, so that's why he's not feeling well. Don't worry about it. But one of the fellow passengers, Karen Mistfelder, a nursing specialist from the University Hospital in Zurich, said that, but after watching him for a few moments, I informed the flight attendant maybe he needs to be examined by a doctor. Okay, so a young Polish man answered the call. I don't know if he was a doctor. Apparently, he just said, you know, I'm a doctor. And he said, how are you feeling? I felt his pulse. He said he was okay. We need a doctor. Yeah, I'll check him out. But after watching the man after a few minutes, they gave him some tea, but he had already spit blood into the bag that his wife held out for him. Oh no. Now, soon after that, blood started spilling out of his mouth and nose. It was absolute horror. Everyone was screaming. Yeah, no kidding. I don't even know how the plane took off or why the plane took off. So, about a half hour afterward, flight attendants tried to perform CPR, which didn't work, and it was, you know, hopeless. So they claim that the man lost liters of blood, some of which splattered the walls of the plane. Oh no. Then he finally went still, and the captain announced, we lost him. He's dead. And it was dead quiet on board. Get it? It was dead quiet on board. The staff then carried the man's body into the galley of the plane as the plane turned and headed back to Thailand. I would not have carried that guy. He lays right there. He stays where he lays. I'm not touching him. And everybody can walk around him or go out the back when we land, but stay away from him. So then they landed, and the passenger said we had to wait 2 hours without any guidance from the airline before they were finally booked on another flight to Germany with a stopover in Hong Kong. I still have the question of why this plane took off at all. This man was looking that bad and feeling that bad and split up into a bag with blood, and then we just took off. Yeah, don't worry about it. We got a sick guy up here, but we'll be fine. Just take off. Okay. Now, there's no mention how long it took to clean the plane. If the plane is still being used, do we have a check on all the other passengers to see if any of them are sick from this guy's blood, the liters of blood that was spit everywhere and on the plane's walls? No, we don't have any. I guess we'll find out if we have contact tracing on the passengers. We have all their names and, you know, where they were headed. So maybe we do have that information. But I would say that this plane, I know we have a lot of problems with airplanes these days, with nuts and bolts and doors opening. Maybe we just pull this Lufthansa Airbus A380 off to the side at the airport and burn it. There she goes. Yep. Too bad. What a shame. Welcome. Welcome to Chewing the Fat. burning things. Scientists have found four black eggs that they brought to the surface in the oceanic abyss, from the oceanic abyss. Inside the eggs, they encountered a worm creature they didn't know existed. What are we doing? What are we doing? During a robotic exploration of the ocean's abyssopelagic zone, scientists discovered never-before-seen black, jet-black eggs attached to a rock. So instead of saying, hey, why don't we just go ahead and leave that there? No, we can't do that. So we know that these eggs belong to a flatworm, an animal usually associated with more shallow waters, but these were previously unknown to science. Yeah, the scientist was like, yeah, we weren't sure what they were. And look, I was controlling the remote vehicle, and you know what? Let's take them back. Let's take them back and take a look at them, okay? Let's bring them up to topside and take a look at them. Oh, okay. So now we realized, once we got them topside, that the eggs were, in fact, cocoons containing a handful of flatworms. I'd never seen flatworm cocoons, said one scientist, and I didn't know what cocoons looked like. I thought they were, you know, something different, but, you know, who knew? So under the stereo microscope, I cut one of them, and a milky liquid-like thing leaked from it. Have we not seen the end of this movie already? I know. And so after blowing the milky thing, I found fragile white bodies in the shell and first realized that it was the cocoon of playhelminths. No, thank you. Okay. This, you want to talk about what needs to be done here? Wherever these flatworms are and their milky substance, how about we burn it? Yeah, there she goes, the old lab. Sorry, wish we probably should have tested it, I don't know, in a submarine below the ocean's surface, so that if the white milky substance leaks out, at least we can, you know, blow up the submarine and it's not loose here above ground. If there was ever a time where you needed a personalized emergency kit that contains five essential antibiotics that treat the most common and deadly bacterial infections, now would be the time. And that would be the Jace case, which you can get at jacemedical.com. You can also get a discount by using the promo code Jeffy, but most importantly, you can get your case at jacemedical.com. The personalized emergency kit, as I said, contains five essential antibiotics, and Jace is continually working to expand their medication offerings. They've even added ivermectin as an option in the Jace case. Plus, you can buy a gift card now for your family or loved ones so that they can get a Jace case of their own and personalize it to their needs. Everyone should be empowered to care for themselves and their loved ones during, you know, the unexpected. Like when scientists bring stuff up from the ocean that they don't know what it is. Stuff like that. Sure, there are disruptions in medical treatments going on now. Sure, there's record high shortages of drugs. Sure, there's rationing of vital medications. Yeah, but there's also scientists bringing things up from the ocean that they don't know what it is. Go to jacemedical.com today. Enter the code Jeffy to get that discount at checkout, jacemedical.com, J-A-S-E medical.com.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate.
However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Keeping with our burn it theme today so far, a crowd in San Francisco vandalized a Waymo self-driving car carrying no passengers, thankfully, on Saturday night, breaking a windshield and setting it on fire. Once the firefighters got the situation under control, only a burned husk of the Waymo remained. According to, it's not funny. It is not funny at all. Destruction of property. According to Waymo, the self-driving car was navigating through Chinatown at about 9 p.m. when it was suddenly surrounded by a crowd. Members of the crowd defaced the vehicle and threw a firecracker inside, which then set it on fire. There were no injuries, and they reported that the cause of the fire was currently under investigation. Yeah, it was someone who threw a firecracker or some other burning object into the car, and then it started to burn. Now everybody just sat back and watched it burn. That's awesome. I mean, what are you going to do? They said that nobody did anything. What are you going to do? The car was surrounded by a group of people and it started on fire. Once it started on fire, what are you going to do? Nothing is what you're going to do. You're going to sit back and watch it burn. And that's exactly what they did. Now, remember, a few days ago, the Waymo self-driving car hit a bicyclist in San Francisco. I think that was a strange incident, too. It was dragged a pedestrian, that whole incident. Those are, you know, the cars were actually doing what they were supposed to do. And I know we got into that. We talked about that on earlier shows, right? The person who got hit by the autonomous vehicle was hit because someone else, a human driver, hit the person. The person flew in front of the autonomous cruise vehicle, and the cruise vehicle tried to stop, and that's what dragged the human. The car did what it was supposed to do. That wasn't the car's fault, but I digress. This is more about the burning of the car in Chinatown. So just burn it all down. That's where we're at. That's sad, but that is where we're at. Apparently, during the holdup, someone in a white hoodie jumped on the hood of the car and broke the windshield. The crowd was shocked and people started paying attention to what was happening and gathering around the car. Someone else jumped on the hood and a group of people started clapping and encouraging the behavior. Yeah, no doubt. And then once it started to burn, yeah, we're just going to let it burn. Just let it burn. I don't think the new chief safety officer at General Motors could have stopped this particular vehicle from burning. Cruise, the troubled General Motors autonomous vehicle unit, has just hired the veteran automotive and technology company safety official for the critical position of chief safety officer, Steve Kenner. He's held top safety positions at multiple companies over nearly four decades. So congratulations to him. And I hope that, everything works out at General Motors. He seemingly can't hold a job. He was a president and vice president of Kodiak, a self-driving truck company. He also held leadership positions at Apple, Uber, and Aurora. Those are companies that Aurora makes hardware and software for autonomous trucks. And he started his career as an engineer at General Motors. So, and then he worked as a safety director for Ford. So good luck to Steve Kenner, but man, can you hold down a job? And speaking of holding down jobs, I see where Uber, Lyft, and DoorDash drivers are going to go on strike. Right? They're going to go on strike tomorrow, which is Valentine's Day. And they're going on strike because they are seeking fair pay. That's it. I mean, that's what they're going on strike for. Seeking fair pay. Isn't that what everyone goes on strike for? So this is the first since Uber and Lyft went public in 2019. Drivers will picket outside airports and Uber offices. Oh, okay. I thought that Lyft said they were going to pay the difference if drivers made less than 70% of what riders paid after external fees. Yeah, we don't care. It's not good enough. It's never enough. I mean, Lyft said we're constantly working to improve the driver experience. Are you? are you? So the drivers are considered independent contractors. I mean, isn't everyone these days? And they've accused the platforms of taking disproportionately high amounts as commissions. Yeah, well, I'm sure I would be shocked if that isn't true. So the Justice for App Workers Coalition, I mean, I need to look into the Justice for App Workers Coalition, representing about 130,000 drivers and delivery workers, said its drivers would not provide rides to and from airports between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. in 10 U.S. cities. That's only a couple hours. What are we doing? By not paying our drivers a livable wage, drivers are barely able to afford the bare necessities. I know, but I thought this was a side job. This is what we're doing, right? This was supposed to be a side job. So more and more people are using this as full-time platforms, and they want to increase their pay. The algorithmic pricing say drivers have seen an incredible decrease in their pay. That is probably true. I'm almost on their side. But they need to strike for more than a couple hours. Make it hurt a little. You can quote me on that. Make it hurt a little. All right, let's go to the break room. I need something cold to drink desperately. All right, sad news or good news, either way you look at it, Powerball, there was no winner last night, so it rolls over. There's no jackpot winner. $285 million is the jackpot now with $137.7 million cash payout. The next drawing is Valentine's Day, Wednesday, the 14th of 2024. If you're listening live, today is the 13th of February, 2024. So it could bring someone a happy Valentine's Day to win $285 million jackpot. Tonight would be a better Valentine's Day because Mega Millions is worth $425 million for the jackpot, $202.0 million on the cash payout. So good luck. I hope someone like me has a happy Valentine's Day. I was looking at a story from Eric Idle, well, about Eric Idle, the Monty Python star, and the story is like, he's continued to work at the age of 80, and he claims, yeah, I'm still working because I need the money, okay? A series of his posts on X, and in this story, can we stop? This is, it's long enough, all right? It's been long enough. Formerly Twitter. We don't need to say that anymore. Just stop it. Posts on X. You can talk about tweets on X. You can talk about posts on X, but you don't need to say formerly Twitter. Stop it. This article is from The Guardian. Stop it. You don't need to do that anymore. So anyway, he goes in on his posts. I don't know why people always assume we are loaded. Python is a disaster. Spamalot made money 20 years ago. I have to work for my living. Not easy at this age. Oh, okay. So he created the medieval musical Spamalot, which earned all kinds of awards. He also appeared in Shrek the Third in 2007, Monty Python Live, alongside some of the troupe in 2014. Based on much of the last decade in Los Angeles, Idle also thanked his followers for the kind words and encouragement. It means a great deal to me. He also seems surprised by the downturn in their fortunes after the success of Monty Python. We own everything we ever made in Python. I never dreamed that at this age the income streams would tail off so disastrously. When asked if a Netflix documentary would help, he said, F documentaries. And the streaming company. So I'm guessing talks did not go well with Netflix. Idle also said, I'm fine. I'm engaged in writing. It's the thing I do and like the most. Creating a new show, something that feels so completely normal. Been doing it since 1963. I've learned a lot, but then I've had some great mentors. In September of 2022, he survived pancreatic cancer, which is really incredible. People do not survive that. He received a rare early diagnosis. Okay, so that's pretty incredible. People normally do not survive that. And he appeared on the celebrity singing show The Masked Singer. He said he appeared alongside Graham Chapman, the Fawlty Towers star John Cleese, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. They founded the comedy troupe back in 69. Yeah, Chapman is dead, and so is Jones. In 2013, Monty Python and the Holy Grail won a high court royalty fight with the comedy team. Yeah, so they got money from that. He also talked about how he had to sell his home last year because apparently he could not afford to live there anymore. I hope that he got the most for his money when he sold his home. And by that, I mean he should have used realestateagentsitrust.com. Because when you absolutely, positively have to buy or sell a home, sometimes you just have to. You want Real Estate Agents I Trust on your side. It's Glenn's company, and he started a long time ago because he was tired of dealing with incompetent real estate agents. And he figured, you know what? Other people might be as well. So let's face it, buying and selling a home really... is not fun. In fact, it really sucks. It's a lot of work. It can really be confusing, and you don't want to be making a lot of mistakes in this economy. The agents they work with are the best in your area. They're the top sellers. They know the lay of the land and the best practices to get you and your family where you need to go, whether it's across the street or across the country. Most of these agents are fans of the show, so you'll have something in common just to start off. So do yourself and your family a favor and check them out today. Real Estate Agents I Trust. I mean, really, the name says it all, doesn't it? Real Estate Agents I Trust. Go to realestateagentsitrust.com. Realestateagentsitrust.com. So it looks like Roger Goodell was right when he predicted 200 million viewers for the Super Bowl. According to Nielsen, more than 200 million viewers tuned in for at least part of the game across all networks. That's up 10% from last year's 184 million. Now, they ranked the audience at 4 million viewers on CBS, Nickelodeon, Univision, and digital platforms, including NFL Plus, which is up 7% from last year's audience of 115.1 million on Fox. So there was a number of people watching the game. In fact, they claim now it's the second most watched TV program in history. The first place, I guess, was the 1969 Apollo 11 moon landing. Sure, if you say so. If you want me to believe more people watched the moon landing than watched the Super Bowl, okay, sure. All right, I believe you. No problem. Now, they claim, this was because of the Swifties. So that's very possible that it could be because of the Swifties. But, man, the NFL is on fire. No, I don't need to hear the fire sound effect. I don't want to burn the NFL. But we are using fire as a theme for today's broadcast, that's for sure. Then I see where movies, theaters took a beating this weekend, right? Super Bowl weekend, taking in only $40 million. Whew! That's the lowest... lowest box office for a Super Bowl weekend in more than 30 years, not counting the pandemic year because most cinemas were closed. So no one went to the theaters. Maybe that's because there's, I don't know, no movies to watch. I guess Argylle won the weekend at $6.5 million. And I really don't know about Argylle. I guess it's a big budget. Argylle placed number one. So honestly, I don't know anything about Argylle. It's Matthew Vaughn's big budget film, and it has 28.1 million so far domestic total. It's Apple Original Films and distribution partner Universal. Oh, yeah, I did. I have seen the trailers for this. The spy action comedy film, directed and produced by Matthew Vaughn, as I said. The film features an ensemble cast that includes Bryce Dallas Howard, Sam Rockwell, Bryan Cranston, Catherine O'Hara, Henry Cavill, Sofia Boutella, Dua Lipa, Ariana DeBose, John Cena, Samuel L. Jackson. Wow, it's a monster cast. The plot centers on a reclusive author who is drawn into the world of spies and espionage after she realizes that a new spy novel she is writing mirrors real-world events. So, it must not be that good. Sorry. Let me know when I can watch it for free or just partially free, since it'll be on a platform that I pay for already. Let me know when I can watch it there.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Who died today? Who died today? Bob Edwards. Bob Edwards, veteran NPR broadcaster and longtime Morning Edition host, dead at the age of 76. He was a Peabody winner and a member of the Radio Hall of Fame, and remembered as a trusted voice in the lives of millions of public radio listeners. So Bob Edwards, dead at the age of 76. No cause of death was shared, so it wouldn't be that. It couldn't be that. Otherwise, they would have said it, right? Right. I mean, according to family and friends, he died peacefully with his daughters and his wife at his side. So, couldn't be that. Otherwise, they would have said it in their statement, right? All right. Listen, he understood the intimate and distinctly personal connection with audiences that distinguishes audio journalism from other mediums. And for decades, he was a trusted voice in the lives of millions of public radio listeners. Now, I will say this. He may have been a voice in the lives of millions of public radio listeners. I don't know that he was a trusted voice, but he was a voice in the lives of millions of public radio listeners. So rest in peace, Bob Edwards, Hall of Fame, Radio Hall of Fame member, dead at the age of 76. There's one thing that, may make us, live longer. Doomsday seaweed farm. A recent study found that the resilient seaweed could be a viable food source for humans should nuclear war cause a sudden reduction in sunlight, wrecking most of other forms of agriculture. I will say this. I was forced to eat seaweed in my life. My first wife, enjoyed it and said, it was good for you, and we had to eat seaweed. So I ate seaweed, and I disagree completely with it. Tastes good. It's good. It may be good for you. It might be a way to survive. I'm guessing, if we're under the cloud of the nukes. Okay. You know what? I'm hungry. Go ahead and give me some seaweed. But these people are all looking for money to create a doomsday seaweed farm. So good luck to the seaweed farm agricultural community. I want nothing but the best for you. Then I see where this guy in the United Kingdom, a British bodybuilder, said that his way of feeling better and stronger and faster isn't anything other than eating a daily brick of butter. Oh, nice. Now this I could do. I think I might be able to pull this off. I'd rather have this than seaweed. Okay. So he's got an aggressive eating plan. This 28-year-old man, Jonathan Griffiths, the Dorset, England man, puts down 1.5 pounds of meat, 0.5 liter of raw milk, 4 ounces of cheese, and 4 eggs a day. My first meal of the day is whey, raw milk, and cheese. He is 241 pounds, 6'1". I'm quite a heavy chap. I need a lot of food. He dodges fruits and vegetables like they're the plague. Notice that the carnivore diet on YouTube 2020 and never looked back. Now, a lot of experts, here's what they're saying. Oh, they've warned against the regime. Oh, no, really? Yeah. You shouldn't be doing that for yourself. Oh, okay. Now, apparently, this man, Griffiths, endured a rugby-induced spinal injury, and he had surgery for it, and he claimed that after the spine fusion procedure in 2022, his special eating habits are helping him through the recovery. I have less pain and stiffness in my neck. I'm able to move more freely and comfortably. My performance is better. Anyone experiencing any health issues should have started this diet yesterday. Okay. Then he said that the special diet also helps ward off cravings. And I used to feel guilty and sluggish after a chocolate bar. Not anymore, though. I enjoy a butter bite snack by melting down a brick of butter and freezing it. He'll eat it later. Ooh, and he pretends it's chocolate. That's what we need to do. We're pretending bricks of cheese are chocolate. Man, does that sound good, doesn't it? Come on now. Oh, you melt down the butter and then freeze it and then just pretend it's chocolate. Doesn't get much better than that, does it? No, it doesn't. And then you've got the 1.5 pounds of meat and 0.5 liter of raw milk and cheese and eggs. Hey, now, that's the way to start your day. In fact, that may be his daily motto. Hey, now. This is the way to start the day. Speaking of the UK, I see where they have done a study. They did analysis of around 1,500 blood proteins and identified biomarkers that can be used to predict the risk of developing dementia up to 15 years before diagnosis. Now, these findings were reported in Nature Aging, and I'm a huge fan of Nature Aging. I haven't received my latest copy yet. But there are steps toward a tool that scientists have been in search of for decades. Blood tests that can detect Alzheimer's disease and other forms of dementia at a very early pre-symptomatic stage. Researchers screened blood samples from more than 50,000 healthy adults in the UK biobank, 1,417 of whom developed dementia in a 14-year period. They found that high blood levels of four proteins, the GFAP, the NEFL, the GDF15, and the LTBP2, were strongly associated with dementia. So I say boo to the GFAP, NEFL, GDF15, and the LTBP2. Studies are required if they are to intervene with disease-modifying therapies at the very earliest stages. Yeah, duh. So according to the WHO, the World Health Organization, not the band, more than 55 million people worldwide currently live with dementia. So if they can find something that would, if they say, ooh, you've got a high level of GFAP. Now, they didn't say here. Okay, so for some participants who developed dementia, blood levels of these proteins were outside normal ranges more than 10 years before the symptom onset. Okay, so, but they didn't say, like, if I have a normal range of GFAP but an abnormal range of NEFL or GDF15 or LTBP2, do I have to have abnormal ranges in all of those or one of those? Oh, that's what they're studying, Jeff. Okay, well, good luck with that, because I want them to solve that problem, because we want dementia diagnosis, and we want it now. That's my motto. We want dementia diagnosis and we want it now.
Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So for the past week, all I saw was headlines. Tiger Woods is going to announce something. Tiger Woods is going to announce something. Did you see his cryptic tweet? Yes, about his new, probably going to be about his new apparel brand. Well, it was. He announced it yesterday. He announced that he is going to partner with TaylorMade, and it's going to be Sunday Red with the Tiger logo. It looks like infused bones of a tiger. Really cool looking, actually, logo. Sunday Red. No word on what amount of money this is going to bring to all of them, but what a great deal for him. Sunday Red, great ad from the website, and it's going to be coming in May of this year. Sunday Red. So look for Sunday Red apparel and that tiger logo wherever sports apparel and golfing apparel is sold. Because it is going to be everywhere starting in May. And it'll probably be everywhere before then. Really cool looking logo, though. I like it a lot. I mean, it's going to be worth a lot. I know, you know, they cut the Nike deal, and now he's made his big deal with TaylorMade and the Tiger Woods brand, Sunday Red. He had, in the announcement, he had mannequins outfitted with the brands, you know, hoodies, polos, outerwear, and hats. It's gonna be huge, and I wish I was part of it, but I'm not. Tiger, are you gonna have fat guy sizes? Probably not. Sunday Red will probably not have fat guy sizes, so you'll be stuck with wearing the hat, and you'll like it. Okay. And, you know, I got an email from Robert. You can email the show anytime, chewingthefat@theblaze.com, chewingthefat@theblaze.com. You can reach out on social media, too. I'm on X at JeffyJFR. Facebook and Instagram is Jeff Fisher Radio. You can follow me on my YouTube channel, chewingthefat@theblaze.com. You can even follow me and or order a cameo from me at JeffyJFR on Cameo. That, of course, is not free, but it is a way to make things happen, because Cameo is my pimp. I digress. I got an email from Robert, and he is commenting about the story that I did about Hercule Dirkling and bed rotting. And I said in the story that I really wasn't a fan of bed rotting. So his email is, are you insinuating that a man whose goal was to appear on My 800-Pound Life and be craned out of the house is not a fan of bed rotting? Asking for a friend. Oh, so Robert wasn't asking. He was asking for a friend. So, Robert, thank you for asking for your friend. I appreciate it. Yeah. Okay, so here's the deal. I did at one point have a goal of being craned out of my home. I thought that was a legitimate goal. I don't have that goal anymore. I did, in fact, you know, the 800-pound life, man. I don't know that I ever actually seriously thought about being on My 800-Pound Life. It really is just an amazing show. I haven't watched it in a while. I watch it from time to time, you know, to feel better about myself. Now, bed rotting is a different thing. Now, I guess I am a fan of, you know, maybe chair rotting, tilt-back chair rotting, just not bed rotting. You know, you lay down in bed, and your shoulders hurt, and your back hurts, and you neck hurts and your knees hurt. But if you're in the tilt, so maybe I'm a fan of tilt back chair rotting. Just tell your friend that. Tell your friend I'm not a fan of bed rotting, but I am a fan of chair rotting. Oh, it is. It's Fat Tuesday, right? Yes, we're celebrating the final day before Christian fasting and religious observance period of Lent begins. So it's the culmination of carnival season, which begins on January 6th, which is the 12th day after Christmas, and ends the day before Ash Wednesday. So Fat Tuesday going on right now in New Orleans, Louisiana. They'll be partying down there all day long. We'll see. I guess New Orleans is, you know, New Orleans, I mean, you think of Fat Tuesday, you think of New Orleans, but Mobile, Alabama claims to have hosted the first Mardi Gras. Okay, calm down, Mobile. calm down. So New Orleans Mardi Gras focused, social clubs known as crews. Yeah, that's the way those parties work. And it is the culminate carnival season. And there's going to be parades and floats, and it's Fat Tuesday, so you got to just eat as much as possible. I was looking at some of the made-up holidays. This is not made up at all. Don't think to yourself, wait, Fat Tuesday and Mardi Gras are made up? No, they are not. But there are plenty of made-up holidays from television shows, like Festivus and Best Friends Day and Christmaka. And Merlin Peen and Federation Day and Trash Giving. Trash Giving from Sesame Street, Federation Day. Go ahead, take a guess. Star Trek, that's right. Merlin Peen, 30 Rock. The OC had Christmaka and Best Friends Day, SpongeBob SquarePants, and Festivus, best known from Seinfeld. So those are your made-up holidays. But that is not Mardi Gras. Mardi Gras is not a made-up holiday, okay? This is the final day today. Meanwhile, the Christians, fasting and religious observance, when Lent begins. And that's exactly what all those partiers in New Orleans, that's what they're thinking of, right? Right.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.